So people that were training us were the doctors that were supposed to be me in 10, 20, 30 years. And I kept watching these guys, and they were on their second or third marriage. They were in the hospital at night. They were whining and complaining about not having control over their life. They drove nice cars, had cool houses, wore nice clothes. I finally realized that I didn't want their money if I had to have their life.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
Good morning or good afternoon to the Action Academy family. This is your host, as always, Brian Lubin, coming to you with another freaking awesome episode today. So I'm recording this intro on Wednesday, October 5th, and I am over in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I'm about to go to my first official Brazilian football match. So guys, I'm going to be able to tell you how it compares to American football. I think it's going to be an insane experience. So it's Flamengo down here in Rio. So I'm very excited. It's going to be super cool. But I want to do a bit of housekeeping before we get into the episode today, because I realized that I gave my first round of calls a shout out and not the second round of calls. So for those of you that are new to the show, what we do is we are having these things called Freedom Calls, and it's a free 15-minute call that you can have with me personally, one-on-one. And you go in the show description, you can click the link and book a call if you have an emergency fund and you leave us a rating and a review. What we talk about is different mindset tools, different financial tools, investment vehicles, portfolio analysis to be able to get you out of your W-2 job and into whatever you're super passionate about. So those are super fun. And we just finished up another huge round of them. So I got to give a shout out to some of the names on this list. We have Ben, Braxton, Daniel, Brandon, Rachel, Sean, Doug, Corey, Ali, Austin, Brian, Rob, Jesse, Chris, Parker, Neves, Will, Mason, Ferris, Riz, Will again, Jordy, Ryan, Mike, and Denise. So shout out to all of you. You guys freaking rock. Most of you have already messaged me after the call and told me about how you've taken action from that. So it's super cool, super rewarding, and very fun. So speaking of rewarding lives and a lot of fun, today's guest is none other than one of my mentors, Dr. Tom Burns. Tom is a deca millionaire and has a lot of real world experience and wisdom and knowledge under his belt. This guy's been doing it for 30, 40 years, four decades of investing knowledge. And the guy's personal friends are Robert Kiyosaki. He wrote a book, Why Doctors Don't Get Rich. And that essentially is the topic of today's show. Tom was a practicing orthopedic surgeon until he looked at the other doctors that he was learning from and realized that he did not want the lives that they had. So he went on a mission to be able to get enough real estate to create passive income to leave that position. One of the cool key points of today's show is Tom was able to get enough passive income to hire people to remove and eliminate the parts of his job that he disliked, which allowed him to continue doing parts of it that he did enjoy for another 10, 20 years throughout his entire journey. So while Tom has tens of millions of dollars of multifamily real estate, I felt the best way that we could add value to you guys in this episode would be to share how he was able to intentionally design his life and some of the mindset practices and principles that he used along the journey in that regard. And we actually lead the show off talking about best practices for mastermind and accountability groups, because his small GoPod within our group GoBundance has a combined net worth of probably close to $500 million. So it was very interesting to hear how they hold each other accountable and actively work through that every single week. So hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And with that, I'll let you get to it. Dr. Tom Burns. All right. Tom Burns, how are you, my friend?
Awesome, Brian. We finally got all the technical stuff worked out.
Yeah, finally. But hey, that's why two is one and one is none. So we made it happen. We got it figured out.
That's right. We're here.
So I actually want to start off on a couple of different angles. So I asked you before about what you enjoy talking about. And ironically, what you enjoy talking about is what I was going to ask you anyways. So it worked out perfectly. But I want to start before intros. I believe you are one of the last interviews from your GoPod. I think I've interviewed just about your entire GoPod. It's Yurna Muchastegi, Matt, Onofrio, and Hal.
That's right. That's right.
So all I have is Hal Elrod left. Talk a little bit about that GoPod for people that are semi-familiar here. We talk about GoBundance a lot, and that's a freaking powerhouse pod. So how do you guys structure your calls when it comes to your weekly accountability calls? Or do you do them bi-weekly or what have you?
Yeah, we do them every 2 weeks. And we've got one guy that now kind of runs things. We did it first a little bit. It was somebody put it together and selected all of us to get together. And it was structured with the usual wins and asks, that sort of thing. We'd go around and talk about that. And then we'd talk about certain things. There would be a question that each one of us would spend our 5, 10 or whatever minutes on. And so now we pretty much do a quick check-in, which isn't always quick. Sometimes
I know how it goes.
That's more of a check-in than another, but it's the back and forth because each of us has different talents and experience. And our group has gotten really good about having, if we've got a challenge, we will open up and say, look, I'm lost or I don't know what I'm doing. And if you guys know where to go. And so there's always referrals to people that can help or advice from experience. And it's a really good pod, really diverse. And we really all do three, a lot of different, all four of us do a lot of different things. And then probably you'd think maybe once a month, we try to get to where we do our one sheets. So we seem to push it off a lot, end up talking about current issues. But the one sheets are helpful too, to see where people really want to go. And often we'll sit and ask somebody why they want to go there in case they've got some of those shallow goals.
Yeah.
Why is that really important to you? So it's just a really good group, super transparent. Everybody trusts each other and we work really well together and we're all good friends.
And as a refresher for people listening, a GoPod is within our community, GoBundance. It's a accountability group of 5 to 6 guys that normally meets once about a week. And we will hold each other accountable to what he's discussing is our one sheet where we have all the different goals with our income, our health, our contribution, all of that good stuff. Before we begin with your intro, I'm curious about this. What have you seen? Because I'm sure you've been a part of many mastermind accountability groups throughout your career and throughout your life. What is the thing that makes it sticky? What's the difference between a group that comes together for accountability where it actually jives and works and makes the rubber meet the road versus just a bunch of fluff and guys just keeping each other off track?
I think it's good, at least in ours and in a lot of GoPods that I've heard of, the guys buy into the fact that they're not there to see what they can get out of the GoPod. They're there. They can contribute to their friends. I've been in, as you said, a lot of masterminds because I think it's good to hang around other people with different ideas. And sometimes you're in a mastermind to look cool, you know? So we're not there to look cool. We will really lift up the skirt and tell them the mistakes we made and the dumb decisions and the fact that we don't know where to go. And so that's what I think makes it really sticky, really valuable is that it's the level of transparency and the desire to really, to pretty much give to the rest of the guys rather than take something out of the group.
Yeah. So with a value first approach, like leading with value as opposed to an ask.
Sure.
Anyways, let's get back to the actual topic at hand, which is you, my friend. Give a brief introduction to the people and we'll dive in.
Sure. From Austin, Texas, grew up here, was an athlete when I was young. That's all I did. I used to joke that all I did was play sports and chase girls. At least I was successful in sports.
Fair.
So that's all I did. And there came a time where I got the tap on the shoulder that let me realize I probably wasn't going to get paid to play sports, though that was a bit of a dream. And so I ended up becoming a doctor, a sports doc. I figured that's a great way for me to hang around the athletes that I understand and I'm used to hanging out with. So I became an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine guy and take care of the U.S. ski team and stuff like that. And so I've really had a good time doing that. And that was a nice career. That was a nice 30-year career. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but I did the last 10 or 12 years of it without the need for the money, just because I enjoyed it. But I knew nothing else but sports, right? So I'm going through the doctor program, right? You go to college, you go to med school, and you do 5 years of residency and another year of sports specialty. So it's a interminable amount of training. I was 32 before I started working. So for those of you that think you're starting too late, I didn't get out of school, so to speak, till I was 32. We're trained on this sort of apprenticeship program. And so people that were training us were the doctors that were supposed to be me in 10, 20, 30 years. And I kept watching these guys and they were on their second or third marriage. They were in the hospital at night. They were whining and complaining about not having control over their life. They drove nice cars, had cool houses, wore nice clothes. I finally realized that I didn't want their money if I had to have their life. And I didn't like what I saw. I didn't want that to be me. My wife and I had talked years ago about no matter what we do, no matter how much money we have, we're going to have fun while we go through life because it's a one-way ride, right? And so I didn't think those guys were having fun. So I started looking for something else. Bumbled and stumbled through a bunch of stuff. Had zero training, by the way, zero financial training. Hadn't had a accounting class or any of that kind of stuff. And stumbled on the real estate world because it moved at a pace that I could work with as a doctor, as a busy, pretty busy guy. Kind of slowly did my thing, did my real estate when I wasn't playing doctor, and things compounded over time. And that started creating enough income for me to start backing off on the doctoring and start enjoying life a little bit. So that's how I ended up here.
Yeah. And you wrote yourself a book too. That was a pretty successful chapter of your life, huh?
It was Why Doctors Don't Get Rich. So one of my friends is a guy named Robert Kiyosaki who wrote a big book, right? Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah, you might have heard it. Sold a few copies. So I'm having lunch with Robert one day. And this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, 2, 3, 4, I can't remember. But we're having lunch one day and I asked him, I said, hey, what's your next book? Because he puts one out about every year. And he told me, and then he turns around with a mouthful of salad and says, you should write a book. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, oh, you got a story. You should write a book. I said, nobody wants to hear a book about me. And he said, yeah, you should write it anyway. So that was the catalyst with what is most of us, 80% of us want to write a book. And
nobody ever does.
I wrote Home on the Plane, thought about it for a month or two and thought, yeah, okay, I'll write a book. And so that's what I did. I just wrote a book. So really what it is, it's a metaphor for the fact that you can get paid a lot of money for your time, but it still doesn't make you wealthy, right? So I wrote the book to give hope and guidance to people that are out there and would like to have a better version of their life or have hopes and dreams and have things they want to do. And so I just wrote it for them. As I was going through and doing the research and talking to people and getting things together for the book, I found out that there were a lot of people out there that weren't as happy as I was. I didn't realize I had slowly knocked away the annoying things in life. I was still a doctor, but it was fun because I didn't work that much and I had enough passive income coming in to cover my bills. So I just got rid of the annoying things. Life was good. It was fun to be a doctor. I didn't realize that most of the world wasn't having that much fun being a doctor, lawyer, architect, engineer, that sort of thing. So that kind of birthed a little bit of a mission to try to help people understand that there's hope out there and you don't have to start when you're 12 and you can start when you're any age. And there's always something out there. And the passive income is what really sets you free and lets you be the master of your own time.
Yeah. And we'll get into the passive income part in a little bit. We'll put a pin in that. And I want to sit about the mindset and the philosophies of all of this, because that's what's infinitely interesting to me and to you too, that we were talking before this podcast. You were saying the real estate, yeah, there's 1,000 books on that, but the mindsets behind it, not so much. So I too heard David Osborne's story years ago, where he was 28 years old. He had no idea what he was doing, broke, didn't have a dime to his name. And then he went, traveled around the world, came back 28, bumbled around until about 31, 32. And then him and his mom went into Keller Williams and built a $150 million empire. So I thought naturally the best way for me to build a $150 million empire was to quit my job and go travel the world. Hello from Croatia. Before we get into the how, let's get into some parts of travel, because travel is a massive part of your life. You said you've been to Antarctica, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So first off, let's just stick there because that's cool as hell. How do you even get down to Antarctica?
Oh, that was the coolest trip. So that was on my wife's bucket list. And finally, one day we go to a party and somebody says, oh, booked a trip to Antarctica. And they were friends of ours. And I looked down at my wife. She looked up at me and I said, book it. So she went and talked to them, booked it that night. It's a fabulous trip. We did it with National Geographic. So you fly down to Buenos Aires, you spend some time there, then you fly down to a place called Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in the world, right at the tip of Argentina, Chile, somewhere down there. And you hop on a boat and you cross the Drake Passage, which is actually one of the most dangerous crossings in the world. Then you sail around the northern peninsula of Antarctica, and we get out every day. We hike on the ice, we see penguins and seals and whales, and it was just fabulous. It was really fun. And you just see things that you can never see anywhere else in the world. But it was a fantastic trip, and that kind of knocked off that seventh continent for me.
Yeah. So you've traveled all around the world and you've done a bunch of stuff. So you said something there about where you were able to get enough passive income to where your profession became fun again. Yeah. And for me on this show, I talk a lot about getting enough passive income to create passionate income. So I also use that in the context of creating that business that you wanted to do, starting that podcast, leaving a really shitty, high paying, high hourly rate job for something that's a little bit less workload that you enjoy more. But you just put a spin on that that I hadn't really ever thought about. And that was that you were able to continue doing the profession that you are trained to do, but do it in a way that made it enjoyable for you. Talk a little bit about that and the levers you pulled.
Yeah, I had the best of both worlds. I started early because it was always a slow ride, slow kind of compounding thing. I didn't go into medicine for the money or because, you know, some parent or somebody told me I had to. It's just I wanted to go hang out with athletes. And so I picked a fun portion of medicine, what I thought. And so I enjoyed it. But with everything, there's always things that need to be done, right? There's always annoying parts of the job. That's life. There's a negative and annoying parts of life, right? We're going to have them every day, all day till the day we die. But I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. And I could see that coming in medicine. As I was learning to be a better doctor, I was making more and more money. And so what happened was I was able to start eliminating those annoying things. Now, the first thing I did, I used to do surgery on Friday mornings and then have office in the afternoon. Everybody knew that Burns was the new young doctor in town. And so they'd send all these patients to me on Friday afternoon, which unfortunately would have me working until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night on Friday. So the first thing I ever did was I realized I had money coming in from all this real estate stuff. It was fun. It was addicting. And I realized I could probably take a little bit of time off. So I just took a half day off, 4 hours off. Four probably was worth eight. But that just changed my life. I tell people, I was like, I felt like King Tut. I had 2.5 day weekend. I continued that process. I never wanted to get out of orthopedics. I never wanted to get out of medicine. I just wanted to enjoy it more. That was part of that philosophy. So I just eliminated. If something came up that was annoying, I just got rid of it.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Brian. I need your help. Just 1 second and the show's going to continue. But here's what I need. There are two ways that people find new podcasts to listen to. One is through word of mouth and the other is through ratings and reviews. My one ask of you guys is if you are finding value in this episode today, right now, please go and leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe if you haven't already and send this episode to one or two people that you think would get value from it. Thanks in advance and let's get back to the episode.
And that gave me for the last dozen years of my practice the ability to enjoy what I did, not work too much. I would work, people would say, when do you work? I'd say 2 to 5 mornings a week. But I could see people for free. Somebody couldn't pay, I could see them. I saw every musician in Austin because they don't have two nickels to rub together. I took care of all the musicians. I'm a big music fan. So it was fulfilling. It was really fulfilling.
I love that because people can apply that in whatever position that they're in. So if you're in real estate, you can use that extra income coming in to hire that admin assistant or to hire the EA.
100%, 100%. You start leveraging out to where you can work. What's that old saying? You want to work on your business, not in your business. And it gives you a chance to really sit back and think and grow in the direction that your heart wants to take you.
Yeah. And I love that you were doing it. I don't know if this was intentional, but you did it in bite-sized pieces. Right. So you just started, you didn't start with saying, how do I work like Tim Ferriss? Like, how do I do 4 hours a week? You were like, okay, what if I just shave 4 hours off the end of my week? What would that look like and feel like? And then let's go from there.
That was part of the philosophy. I didn't know what my net worth was ever until they kept having, I get underwritten 30 times a year now. And I'm sure that the number was always on there. I had the numbers there, but I never looked at it because I didn't care. All I cared was that my passive income covered what I was doing. And so that's what, so incrementally, I just did it that way. I played a little game. I had everything on a program, a software program, where I could tell at the end of the year how much my utilities were for my house. And so that was a little game. I'd realize, you know what? I make enough money passively to cover my utilities.
Oh, man, Roland.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, one day I realized, you know, that stuff that's coming in the mailbox every month, it actually did come in the mailbox back then. It's enough to run my life. Now let's make sure it runs my fun, too. So I made sure it made enough to cover all those vacations that I wanted to take.
Perfect. So now the real estate's rolling and you're out of medicine, correct?
Yeah, just a year and a half. Not quite a year and a half.
So let's talk to the person right now And then we'll rewind the clock. Let's talk to the person right now that's working that job and they're annoyed as hell. They're losing their life. They're working 60, 70 hours a week in that corporate job or something. Let's talk to that person and give them some actionable steps on how they can get started or what moves that they would make that you either did make or would make now with your better lens of things. Let's talk to that person.
You bet. First thing that person needs is hope that they can get out of that situation, because some feel they don't have it. They feel that they're stuck. Quickest, easiest, cost-effective things, read some stuff. Read about anybody that's been in your situation, or just read about anybody that's made it. Basically, starting with your education. Learn. That'll give you some hope. It's crucial, of course, but education without any action doesn't get you anywhere. It gets you a little bit of knowledge, right? Start learning about the fact that it can be done. It can be done in any situation. Your situation may be unique, but it's really not unique in the history of the world. People have had better or worse situations than you. Then start hanging around folks that are either headed in the direction you want to go or have already been the place where you want to be. That means get around groups, masterminds, like a GoBundance. GoBundance is a large organization now. It's filled with people that have started at various levels and have ended up at various levels of success. In those groups, you'll get motivation, you'll get hope, you'll get new partners, you'll get mentors, investors, people to invest with. There's all kinds of, you can't do anything without people. And if you don't know those groups, listen to podcasts. You'll find out where, like this, listen to this podcast. You'll understand there's a group like GoBundance. There are hundreds, thousands of ways you can connect with people. You can just Google, if you like real estate, Google real estate meetup groups or Google whatever meetup groups in your town. You'll find them. Just have some guts. Go in there, go meet them. Say, hey, I'm Tom. I want to see what you guys are all about. As you start meeting people, you start getting the more motivation. That'll give you the hope and the stamina and the want to keep doing what you're doing. And then you need to start bringing in some money. My personal way was not to create a big bucket of money, not to create a company and sell it. It's a great way to go. Again, there's a thousand ways to make money. My way, which seemed more feasible, was try to make an extra $100 a month. That's all I wanted to do. Get it coming in, whether I slept, vacationed, or went to work. And then add to that. And so you can do that in many ways. If you've got discretionary income, use that. Find somebody that you know, you like, you trust. You can invest with them. Or you can figure out something that you like, whether it's real estate or something else. Maybe you start putting the deals together. You start investing on your own. So just start small. You'll learn. You'll make mistakes. And so if you start small, you'll make small mistakes and you can grow that larger. There are other thought processes that, hey, why start small? Might as well start big. That's an option too. You just got to be aware that if you're going big, you'll make big mistakes as well. So make sure you've got some sort of help and guidance, maybe in the form of a mentor. Get around the right people. That's when you're going to get the spark to find out what you like. And just don't quit. Time is the best investment hack in the world. It's going to make a bad deal look good and a good deal look great if you just keep your head in the game, keep your knees high, keep moving. So just don't quit. It'll happen faster than you think, and you'll want to quit sooner than you think.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, because that's half of your pod. They moved really fast. You got Aaron Amuchastegui and Matt Onofrio, who just randomly printed out $150 million out of thin air.
And you look at those and you think, wow, how come that can't be me? But because life's a bell curve, and folks like that, they're the outliers on the bell curve. The majority of people did it with compounding and did it slowly. I mean, slow can be a year or can be 10 years. But if you expect to go fast, you're going to be disappointed. Or if you need to go fast, you can plan it slowly, but keep moving. Things will happen quicker than you think.
What was the biggest thing that you noticed while you have been in real estate investing and you're actually getting passive income? What's been the biggest thing that you expected from the beginning that didn't turn out to be true about it?
Oh, that's a question I've never had. I may have thought early on that I had to be really involved, but I started with management to begin with. But I don't know if I have a good answer for that, Brian. How's that for honest and transparent? Because it's gotten me what I wanted. I wanted the control of my time. I wanted to be able to decide what I wanted to do. Now, still, the world still tells you what you have to do. It's not like I can just do anything I want all the time. There are still obligations, but it pretty much gave me what I wanted. I did find that one tip is that as you create passive income, and once it covers all your bills, you need to keep adding to it, because inflation's going to often show you that what's enough today might not be enough next year. So you need to keep your head in the game.
Exactly. And I love that you said that, because it rings true over and over again about just you need to keep going and need to keep doing something. But that also brings up like another philosophical point, where it's just even when you're out of the game and you've got enough passive income, because like right now, my passive income is not sexy in the terms of a lot of guys in GoBundance. A lot of guys making 300, 500. Daniel came on making $1 million passive. And so for me, I cover my fixed expenses and I leave my variable expenses up for me to generate income while I'm traveling. And I just moved all my sources online. So that's how I operate right now, because it gives me a little bit of excitement while I move. And the biggest thing that I found, the reason I asked that is when I jumped into real estate investing, I was like, oh, okay, mailbox money. And nobody really talks about like the work part once you own the real estate. And so I owned a single family, and it's like when it rains, it pours. Like, so right now I'm dealing with a vacancy. I'm dealing with a tree down in the yard that cracked the fence in half. I'm dealing with another tenant that's about to not renew because I'm upping the rates and they haven't looked at rents in 3 years and they don't know where they're at. So it's just, now granted, I've got property managers that handle this stuff, but there's still problems that come up that people don't really talk about when they're talking about this journey. So that's the lens I ask the question through, because it's rare to get truly, really mailbox money.
Okay. So I see. Yeah. Yeah, and it may be that I expected those things. And also you find that that's just cost of doing business. That becomes normal. That's not an abnormal thing in your day. It's just, what am I going to deal with today? And so they're always there. On our end, we're dealing with city governments that are greedy, and we're dealing with developers that don't do what they say, and landowners that change their minds. So just bigger problems, bigger zeros. Those are every day. Those are every day. And we've got employees that help to deal with that. But guess what? The decisions still come to just two of us. So that's a normal part of the day. And I think you develop that muscle to where it's not an irritation. It's just, this is what I'm going to do today.
It's not an irritation. So, it's an expectation.
It's an expectation. Yeah, it's going to happen. You don't look for bad things. Something's going to happen. Particularly when things are going perfect, that's when you need to set your feet and get in ready position, because something's going to happen. That's what I have found. As soon as things are going really well, as soon as the honeymoon seems like it's going to go on forever, that's when what's going to hit the fan on something. That's life. We're always being tested. I think we're always being tested like that. And it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. And so if you know that it's coming, you know that it's part of your world and your job, you become the expert in how to deal with it. And then maybe over time, you figure out how to even leverage it out a little better to where it takes less and less of your time. But you're right. It's always going to be there. Mailbox money does come with a little bit of work, less than Tim Ferriss's 4 hours if you work it out right.
Yeah. And I love the Tony Robbins quote where he's like, problems, they're never going to go away. They look different. That's it.
That's all they are. They just come in different clothes. And that, what is, it's Jim Rohn. It's not... And Jim Rohn or Brian Tracy, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. And and with experience and gray hair and stuff, you realize, it's just going to happen again. What happens is then they start repeating themselves and you realize, that happened to me 5 years ago. I know exactly what to do. Hey, so-and-so, go do this. So it happens.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, because the whole travel thing was going too well. It was just going too well. And I was like, there's no way that this is going to be this quiet for this long. And then all of a sudden we got in a car accident in Greece and we hit a motorcycle and they hit us head on. And then I got my car impounded that's being turoed back home. And then I got a vacancy and a tree down. I was like, okay. It almost gave me a sense of relief because I'm like, okay, cool. Thank God we're back in reality now. Now I've knocked all that stuff out.
Yeah, it's your journey. It's not a Disney Plus movie, right?
No, it's
just not that. You're not going to fly off on a carpet and end your movie. So there's always going to be this stuff going on. Something always comes from every tragedy, every setback. And so once you know that, you deal with the setback and move on to the good stuff. And then one day you look back and say, look what I learned. Yeah. I learned how to drive on the correct side of the road so that I won't hit that motorcycle or whatever your lesson's going to be on that deal.
Yeah, the lesson there was keep Greek friends, because I had a GoBro that was in Greece and he came to the rescue. So power of network. Your network is your net worth and it keeps you out of jail. So that's always fun.
Super important. Network is super important.
Yeah. So we close this out. Talk a little bit about what your fund does and who it's for anybody that's listening that would be interested in investing.
Oh, yeah. So we, my company's Presario Ventures. This is a partner of mine. I was actually speaking for Kiyosaki 20 years ago, and this guy was in the audience and we met. And so we've been friends for 20 years, and we develop and acquire multifamily properties and build to rent. We've been studying build to rent for 3 or 4 years. And so we like that. They can get a hold of us at, you can get probably at info@presarioventures.com. That's P-R-E-S-A-R-I-O. ventures.com. And got a good education program. We got a lot of our stuff is, most of our stuff is in Texas. Texas gives us plenty of business.
There you go. There you go, people. If you're looking to learn and you're looking to invest and get out of that job, there you go. There's your direct line as we speak. So Tom, I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for both of us bearing through all the audio issues in the very beginning. We made it happen.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
All right. This has been Tom Burns and Brian Lubin with the Action Academy podcast, signing off.